It's back again. We thought it was dead, but it's back. It always comes back.
Chapter 2, which was kind of a hilarious title because that book has like a million chapters in it. So here's what's kind of funny is that movie was coming out and I was running a book club nearish when it was like in June, and that was coming out in October probably. And so I was like, well, let's read it. So I read the entire thing. It's been like 2 years now or 3 years. Boy, was it, it wasn't a slog. Like, I enjoyed reading it, but it was a cram session, to say the least. Like, you're reading a book, it's like 1,200 pages, and of course, you know, like any sane person, I was like, oh yeah, I'll get around to it, and then you get around to it, and like, fortunately, for the most part, like, you're in a book club, and you don't read the book until the week before. And you can do the math and still be like, you know, if I read like 30 pages a day, I can get through this. And 30 pages a day is not an insane amount of reading. Like, if I just read on my lunch break instead of doing whatever I usually do on my lunch break, I will get there. And it shouldn't be a problem. But when you got a 1,200 page book, I mean, fortunately, I think I figured it out something like 3-4 weeks before. Like, hey man, I did the uncomfortable math of, so you're going to have to read like an hour a day minimum just to get there in time. And then of course that's still not that compelling, cause I'm like, I could read 2 hours on a Saturday. So eventually you get down to the point where you're like, I'm going to have to really put in some time. I think that from page like 800 to 1200 was in the weekend before. And it was sort of like, I was trapping myself places and doing things. Poonmaster Flex and I went on a date where we just sat and drank beers at a brewery and read just to plow through. But it was good. This all makes it sound like it was like a horrible book or something. It was just a lot of book to read and not a lot of time. So you have to force yourself to an extent to keep going. But it's like a really good book. And I know some people feel like it's not a really good book, or like Stephen King's books aren't that good or whatever, and to those people I say pshaw, because I've read a fuck ton of books, and I can tell you that that's a good book. But some of the things that were important about the book didn't come through in the movie so much, and I think this was even worse in It Chapter 2. So this will, I guess, contain spoilers for both of the movies and the book. So if you can't hang with that, then fuck you. I guess wait till tomorrow's episode. Listen to yesterday's episode again. Boy, that was a good one, huh? Whatever that was. So I went and saw the first movie, and it was only a couple months after having read the book. So of course I was like disappointed, because this was like the ultimate case of the book was better. Because like, let's face it, a 1,200 page book made into two movies is still a 600-page book per movie, and there's going to be a lot of shit that does not make it, right? You're going to have to cut a lot of stuff. One thing that people always bring up with the first movie, even though it probably would have taken place in the second movie, is the child sewer orgy. I wrote a whole column about it on Lit Reactor. But to quickly sum it up, I guess the main thing I would say about it is I don't think it makes sense unless you read the book. And if you read the book, I think it makes more sense. I know that sounds insane and whatever, but it's like, hey, if you're like on board and you're in this world that's been building for like, I think at that point, it probably comes 800 to 1,000 pages into this 1,200-page book. At that point, you're in. Like, you're in this world, you're in for what's happening, you're kind of on board, whether you like it or not. You're invested. I doubt many people give up at this point. I did read a couple people say, like, I quit reading that book at that point, which I was like, are you crazy? Like, why would you do that? But then also a lot of the sort of, like, explanations for it make sense and whatever. And so anyway. So that's missing from the movie, which I think is pretty... It completely makes sense. That's not something that I was like, that needs to be included. But I also feel like much hullabaloo has been made of this sequence. And overall, my feeling is a little bit like, you know, we're talking about a movie. Like, this is such a thing about, like, how we have these hang-ups about sex that we do not have in a movie where we're, like, watching a clown violently rip a kid's arms off. Like, a small boy rip his arms off and pull him in the sewer, and we're like, oh, that's fine. But if, like, a bunch of kids all had sex consensually, that would be insane. But here's the thing, is, like, obviously you can't put that in a fucking movie because you can't show it. And it's like, I don't even think in the 80s you could have really gotten away with it. And now you absolutely couldn't get away with it. But it's like not... There's other ways to do what that did, I think, that, you know, would make it work. So anyway. But there's like other stuff that's missing from the movies that I really liked about the book. So the first movie very much to me felt like, well, I'm going to check the boxes of the best parts of the book. Right, which are, you know, the best scary parts, the best, like, things that are happening, and kind of do it this way. Now, something that's important to know, too, is that the book and the movies are structured really differently. The book goes back through, like, it's in the 50s and in the 80s. And so it goes back and forth between those two time periods, like, the entire length of the book. Like, so the whole time you're reading, you're going back and forth between the past and the present. In the movie, they basically did the entire... First movie was all past. And then second movie was past and present. Which we'll talk about in a second. So the first movie was mostly the past. And it was mostly this, you know... Mostly this weird shit that happened and the scary parts and them fighting Pennywise in the sewer and so on. Not as much of the stuff that, like, you know, I really liked about the past, which is, I think, one of Stephen King's gifts is he writes really well about, like, human nature and shit, but also I feel like he really remembers what it's like to be a kid. And by kid, I mean, I don't know, like, that age of maybe 10 to 14 or something like that. I think he really remembers the frightening aspects of it, the weirdness of it. I think he really sort of has a way of remembering why it was fun to, like, go and play in an old creek, which was, like, something I did as a kid, right? And something that I thought was really fun. I think that, I don't know, like, if he would ever go do that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think that he remembers the feeling of that more distinctly, or he's able to relate the feeling of that more distinctly, or, you know, the excitement of, like, when you kind of start getting your first freedoms as a kid, you get, like, a bike, and then you're like, I could go anywhere in town, and that's incredible, and so on. I think he's got a knack for that. And that was something that is really in the book, is like, I think the best parts of that book are not really the Pennywise horror parts, but the sort of like, this is what it was like to be a kid in the 50s part, which was pretty amazing. You know, and like, I think he does a good job with the kids too, because like, sometimes they're like assholes and ripping on each other, and sometimes they're like nice to each other. So like, one of my complaints about the first movie is they all kind of just coalesced into this friend group in what felt like a very unnatural way or unnatural speed. When the blood explodes in Beverly's bathroom, they all help her clean it up, and it's just sort of like they barely know her at that point. Whereas a similar thing happens in the book, and they all help her, but it's like they're all like friends at that point, and they're all like, we understand that. And they clean it up not because it's like, well, we just have to or whatever. They clean it up because they're like, she's in this bathroom, she has to use this bathroom, and like her dad can't see it and whatever, and it's like just covered in blood, so let's clean it up because that's a nice thing to do for our friend, is to help out. And I just felt like that made more sense and was emphasized more in the book, whereas in the movie and they had to be speedy. I get it, like, you gotta be speedier. But sometimes, this is what makes me think, like, maybe some things don't really need to be adapted into a movie. Like, maybe some things are, their best form of them is the book. I also read Stand By Me. Well, I can't remember what the story, The Body. Like, what the hell was that story called? And it was called The Body. I read that recently, and so, like, I liked the movie better on that one. But, you know, I think that's a story that really lends itself to a movie. It's pretty simple. You got a simple set of characters. And there's not a cosmic space turtle in it. Like there is in It. So the other thing is, they tried a little bit in the first movie to explain. So it takes place in Derry, Maine. And one of the things that's kind of important to the whole story is that, like, the town is weird. Like, the town is fucked up. People will see a kid getting beat up and just sort of, like, drive by slowly and watch. But it's like they're not in their body and they don't even really know what's happening. It's bizarre. And it's supposed to be bizarre. And it's kind of, like, part of the whole story, which is, like, the town is fucked up somehow. Like, there's something wrong with this town. It goes beyond just like, well, there's this one scary clown and then everything else is fucked up. It's like, no, there's something really weird going on here that can't be explained very easily. But it's like infecting everybody. You know, there's like an evil infecting the town or whatever, right? So the second movie pretty much opens with a scene where this gay guy and his partner are at a carnival, and these asshole townies beat the shit out of this one gay guy and throw him over a bridge and throw him in the water, you know, and then he gets attacked by Pennywise. And so then his partner is still alive and is like, here's what he saw. But of course, like, no one really believes him or whatever. But here's something. It's important, in my opinion, to note that, like, oh yeah, well, okay, so what was happening there, though, is that this town is fucked up, right? It wasn't just like, well, they decided to have a gay bashing scene in the book. It was like, no, these are, like, weird, violent people. And, like, something they might do, like, you know, make fun of a gay guy or something at a carnival or whatever. Or be like, we don't like your kind in our town. Turns into them violently beating him and throwing him off a bridge. And that's kind of like the weirdness of Derry, is that things like that happen there, and it, like, things escalate too far. They take things ridiculously far when they really, really don't have to, and so on. And I think that's an important aspect, and it kind of made me wonder, like, if you were watching this chapter 2, because they completely abandon that in chapter 2. In chapter 1, I think they had some nods to it, but in chapter 2, they completely ignore the entire rest of the town as opposed to our main characters. It's like no one else lives in the town in part two. So I have to wonder, like, to someone who isn't familiar with the story and how that works, or, like, didn't remember that from the first one, which why would you? Because it's been, like, 3 years or something. Must have just thought, like, geez, this is kind of a violent, just gay bashing scene. I mean, this is sort of weird that this is going down like this. Also, because the remake of the movie moved it, instead of being in the 50s and then the 80s, it was in the 80s and then now. So this is happening in like 2019, and it seems not very 2019 to me. But whatever. It was kind of like a red flag as far as like, okay, so they're not really talking about how the town is weird and violent and fucked up. They're just kind of doing the fucked up violence and stuff, but we're not really concerned about it, I guess. I don't know. It's not becoming a big deal for us here. So then, basically the second movie I have a real mixed opinion about. Because on the one hand, it had some fun visuals and just crazy shit in it that I was like, you know, I do like going to a movie and seeing a guy like pop a leper's eye and it like shoots juice all over him. It's like fucking Evil Dead or something. But on the other hand, it didn't really have much else. Like, there was almost no story in the second part. And the kids, it kind of flashes back between the adults and the kids. And it shows, like, times that the kids all ran into Pennywise that were not in the first movie. That occurred sometime between when they had their sort of fight where we have to break up the group for no real reason. And then they come back together. Sometime between when that happened and then when they went to the sewer to confront Pennywise. And those sequences are fine. It's just like, I guess I was like, can't we get stuff with the adults? Like, in the book, stuff happens with the adults. It kind of, like, happens again. It's almost like having the same movie twice. Or the same narrative twice. Which is, I think, why it works really well in the book to have them back-to-back. Because then you can see the parallels, but also you're not, like, totally tired of it. And if you leave it off at a tense moment, you're, like, not feeling like, oh, God, this is happening again. You're like, okay, this is when so-and-so sees the monster. This is when so-and-so sees the monster. It would be, they all saw the monster in their due time, but there was other shit in between, and there was, like, a story. So the challenging thing, I think, though, translating the book to the movie, is the book is, the ending is very crazy. Like, it's very cosmic, and it's basically like a guy describes feeling like he's shooting through space towards this, like, wall of light or something, and a giant space turtle is, like, advising him on how to defeat Pennywise, sort of, and it's, like, it's very strange. And I think a lot of people would argue with me on this, but I think it kind of works. And I think the reason it works is because, well, it's a weird cosmic story, so why would it have some, you know, tidy ending that really makes sense to me as a human? I mean, if this is some kind of bizarre monster of ancient evil that's taken different forms and it's like, basically, I can't even understand it, then yeah, why would the ending be like, oh, find a magic dagger and stab it or something? Because you'd be like, what? Why? Why would that be that? And why would no one have managed that? That doesn't make sense. But I feel like in the movie, they kind of felt like they had to go with some, they're like, well, we need some horror movie logic. Like, we need a thing that they're trying to do in order to defeat Pennywise. And then, you know, that'll save the day. So they come up with this Native American ritual or something, which doesn't work, which also I was kind of like, well, wait a minute, why are you trying to do this ritual that didn't work before? That doesn't seem like a great idea, because it's like, well, obviously it didn't work, because I see that, isn't that fucking Pennywise right there? I'm pretty sure that's Pennywise. So I don't think the ritual works. So what else you got? But they do the ritual doesn't really work, but then they figure out that if they yell at Pennywise and basically say, like, no, you're small, you know, we're not afraid of you, which is exactly what happened in the first movie, by the way. They were just like, we're not afraid of you, and that, like, saps his power. And, you know, it was exactly the same thing happened again. Which, like, they could have done some stuff. They could have been, because, you know, part of the plot here is, like, you leave Derry, you leave Pennywise's presence, and you sort of forget. You don't remember what happened. Like, none of them remember until they come back to Derry, and then they're like, oh, now I'm remembering all these things that happened. So they could have included that in there and been like, who knows how we beat him last time? I don't remember. Do you remember? Like, no one remembers. And so then they're trying this ritual, and then they start remembering how they beat him. Something like that. But anyway, they don't really go over that. They just kind of do it. It just sort of happens. But then, and that's fine, I guess. I mean, I think it's funny that it's sort of like, it has to conform to this logic, but it's like, well, Pennywise doesn't really conform to any kind of logic as the movie's going, but then this does. The way they defeat him has to be logical, but anything he does not really have to be logical. I don't know. Anyway, I think that's a strength of the book over the movie, is that it was crazier and less sensical how they beat him and how he operates. But I was like, well, I feel like he's nonsensical. But they're like, well, we have to make him make sense in order to kind of sell fucking tickets to a movie. But there were other weird things about the second movie that I couldn't really understand what was going on. Okay, one of the things was, there's the part where Eddie's fighting the leper, and the leper, like, vomits all over him. And it plays this, like, humorous musical sting. It's very, very brief, like, not even a full chorus. And, like, this is happening, and I'm kind of thinking, like, while it's happening, I'm just thinking, man, this is really weird. Like, I thought it was very strange. And it was out of place in the movie. And it's the only time this happens. Like, this doesn't happen any other time throughout the movie. Just this one moment where it happens, where it's like a comedy for a second. I mean, there are funny lines in the movie. There's funny little things they say here and there. But, like, this is the only sort of metatextual funny thing, which is like, well, obviously, he's not hearing that in the movie. You know, it's kind of like, you know how in a movie, I feel like the first place I really remember this happening, oh my god, with the loud bass going, I hope you can't hear that. If I'm mayor of America, I've decided one of my first acts is to make car modifications illegal. Because you know what? You don't know. What do you know? You're like, oh, I know better than the engineers at Ford how to make a car good. And the way to make it good is to, like, take a truck, lift it 18 inches, and put a really loud stereo in it. And it's like, no, no. No, no. You fucking force everyone to have the same shit that it rolled off the factory floor with, because that way you can regulate it. That way you can regulate it with the companies and the factories and be like, hey, listen, this car you guys are putting out, the stereo's fucking obnoxious as fuck. Knock it off. And they'll be like, all right. Anyway. So it was a weird added element that wasn't really, like, part of the story, but it just happens in the movie. And, I mean, it was, like, reasonably funny, but it was just bizarre also. Like, I think I thought it was weirder than I thought it was funny, and not weird in a creepy way. Unclear why the decision was made the way it was, is how I would describe it overall. There was also an added subplot where one of the characters is gay, and he keeps it a secret throughout the entire movie. It really has no effect on the movie whatsoever. And for one thing, here's a huge mistake that was made in the movie. Okay, so Richie is gay in the movie. Now, this doesn't occur in the book or the other movie. It's just a thing they added in, and I think part of it is sort of like, I don't know if in 2019 you can have a cast of 6 or 7 characters and not have a gay character. Like, that doesn't, I don't know if that's acceptable. But also there was a fair amount of like little things people were saying that were, you know, maybe gay bashing or something like that. And it, you know, bad characters doing this to good characters. But nevertheless, I sometimes feel like, oh, this is how they sort of justify that this is happening. Like, that's fine. So anyway, it turns out he's gay at the end, and he was in love with Eddie, who we see die, and he sees die, and, you know, he's, like, cradling him in his arms as he's dying. But this whole time, we don't actually know that he's gay. I mean, we kind of think so, because they allude to his secret or whatever before. And so, of course, the way they allude to it and whatever, I was like, oh, well, maybe his secret is that he's gay, but then I just sort of forgot about it, because I was like, well, I obviously don't care. I don't know if anyone else cares. I don't know if this has any effect on the story, and if it does, I guess we'll find that later. But I was like, why wouldn't you reveal that he's gay before he's, like, holding the person he loved in his arms as he dies? I mean, that would be, it would be really helpful as the audience to know at that moment, like, oh, he's, like, in love with this guy. And he never told him and whatever. But, like, as the audience, if we could have known that he was in love with this guy, that would have been a much, much better way. Like, what do you... You earn a lot in that moment if you orient it that way. Not to use the word orient in a offensive fashion here. But if you kind of set things up a little differently, I think you really earn a lot more, you gain a lot narratively by doing it that way. But the other thing is, it's sort of like, I didn't understand the timing of the revelation. I didn't understand why in particular he was a gay character, because it was sort of like they wanted him to be a gay character, but they didn't want to have to deal with that fact or something. I'm not really sure, because it literally plays no part in the movie until the very end. And so then, it just kind of is what it is, I guess. But it was weird. It was weird, and, like, I have to say I've been conditioned by big-budget movies now to, like, go in and question, like, or be on the lookout and be like, okay, in what way is this movie going to sort of address a topic of race or sexuality or gender or something? Because it's going to. It's absolutely going to. So how is that going to play out? And I was kind of waiting for it in this movie and then was like, okay, well, whatever. That happened. But yeah, I don't know. It's not like, obviously I'm not like, oh my God, they made someone gay. They made my favorite character gay or something. That's got nothing to do with it. It's just sort of like the way they sort of played it out didn't make any sense. I mean, the way that it sort of works in the story was pretty stupid. Pretty fucking stupid. There's another important difference, which is, okay, so in the book and the movie work the same between parts 1 and 2, which is the kids all kind of defeat it, but he sort of escapes into the sewer, and they're not really sure whether or not they, like, defeated him, but he comes back every, whatever, 27 years. So, you know, they make their pact that if he's back in 27 years, they'll all return and defeat him for real. So those both work the same, but one of the key differences is, so at the end of the first movie, as soon as they kill Pennywise, the end of the first book, sorry, the end of the childhood defeating of Pennywise in the book, they forget about Pennywise. They forget how to get out of the sewer. This is kind of what leads into the orgy scene. It's basically like they forget their childhood. They forget everything that's been happening and have to find their way out. And that kind of happens it doesn't happen at the end of the first movie, but it happens at the beginning of the second movie. that they all kind of forgot. And so this is part of the book, too. So when, as adults, they have to come back together, they don't really remember what happened until they kind of get together and start walking around town and stuff. And then they're like, oh, my God, it's all coming back, right? Well, in the second, in the book, one of the key factors here, too, is that so Pennywise has this lasting effect on them. Like, they all become very successful people in one way or another after they defeat Pennywise. And that's kind of like this weird thing that he tells them is like, you know, oh, you all became so successful. And he kind of, I think, implies that that's because of something he did to manipulate reality and change things around, kind of makes that happen. So, and he doesn't, they don't really cover that in the movie at all. But the other thing I think that's really horrible is, like, in the book, they defeat Pennywise the second time as adults and then forget again. And it's kind of sad, too, because, like, one of the characters dies as they're trying to exit the sewers again, but they almost completely forget him. Like, they can't even remember his name a month later or something like that. And I think the whole thing, if I can be a little bit like of a literary dickhead for a second, is like a metaphor for, like, as you pass from adulthood to childhood, or from childhood to adulthood, you forget what it's like. You forget what it was like to be a kid. You forget how you felt as a kid, and you're not in touch with that anymore. Like, that's not something that you have access to anymore. And, like, you know, as kids in the movies and stuff, right, they're like, we'll always be this close, right? We'll always be this good of friends. We'll always be best buddies forever. Like, I can't see anything preventing that from happening. But then we all know that as adults, you just drift apart. Like, there's not always an inciting incident or whatever. It's just like life is different. And it's not really explicable, but it's something that happens. And that's like a big thing in the book, I think, is like sort of just the pattern of life, where you might be best friends with people that you're not best friends with anymore when you're an adult. You may never even talk to them. You might not even really remember their names when you're like, I was trying to remember this kid's last name the other day, because I was like, I probably was with him in school from kindergarten through high school, and I saw him, you know, every school day for all those years, and I was like, can't fucking remember his last name. Like, it's just gone. I don't really remember much about him. Just like, it's just a weird feeling, right? And so I think that's kind of how the book operates, is like saying something about that, saying something about, like, yeah, so when you grow older, and, like, once you sort of wrap up the business of being a child, you kind of forget that. And then sometimes you can get back in touch with it, like with a friend, or if you go back to a place where you used to live or something like that. But overall, that's not accessible to you anymore. That's not something you're able to recapture or, like, reignite, really. It's just something you can sort of visit under special circumstances. And the movie goes the complete opposite direction. The movie has them, you know, talk about, like, how come we all remember? And it's like, probably because we defeated Pennywise. And then it's like, you know, the fat kid ends up with the girl, which is, like, what should happen in terms of, like, well, that's a nice ending, but it almost, to me, it felt like, you know, them remembering and them doing this, and then also there's some weird stuff with one of the other characters, like, leaving this suicide note that sort of makes him committing suicide instead of coming to help them, like, a heroic act, which you're like, I don't know. Here's the thing. I felt like by the end, the part two movie basically could work on two levels, which was you could feel good or you could feel scared. But those are the only two emotional levels that were available from this movie. Whereas, like, the book, I was like, I think this has a lot more layers that it works. You know, it's like, well, it's a story of, you know, feeling nostalgic. It's missing your friends. It's abandoning childhood. It's becoming an adult. It's, you know, how the patterns of childhood develop into our patterns as adults. You know what I mean? All these things. But it's like, you could also feel bad. You could also feel like, you know, part of me feels like the Ben should have ended up with Beverly. Like, that seems more right. But that doesn't mean it has to happen. And also, I think that feels more real to me. It feels like... it feels more... I don't want to say real, because we're talking about fighting a scary clown. I want to say emotionally honest. To say that, like, you know, some things don't exactly work out. Like, some things aren't... don't work out the way they quote-unquote should. And that's the way that should work out. And so in the movie, it does work out that way. And in the movie, it's like they should remember, so they do remember. And in the movie, it's like, oh man, Mike, who had to stay behind and, you know, worked at the dairy library and then bring everybody back and, like, live amongst the evil and shit. Like, he should get cut a break. And in the book, he does not. And in the movie, he absolutely does. You know, it's like he's going to light out for Florida or whatever. And it just kind of made me feel like, so this movie isn't capable, or it thinks its audience isn't capable of more than one feeling, more than one sort of general idea of how to feel. But I think that's what makes the movie weak, is because I didn't feel much of anything as far as, like, you know, when the one character dies, and I was like, I mean, I enjoyed watching him, but I don't feel anything. It's not like an emotional moment. It's just like a, well, I guess he's not in the movie anymore. Lots of stuff like that, where it's hard to describe the difference, but I didn't feel much. I just sort of absorbed. It was like checking the boxes of what's going to be in this movie. And like, I don't know. It almost felt like something that had been test audienced or something like that, like a little too much. And maybe it was, just a little ridiculous or something. Maybe it was a little over-planned or overthought and not enough passion involved. That's what I would say about it. So that, and maybe that's kind of the whole thing. And maybe that's why the book is better than the movie. I think the books are often a lot more of a passion project because, I mean... there are a lot of fucking work, and usually it's not work that's divided amongst people. They're not usually a very revenue-oriented thing. You know, like, a movie's got to make some fucking money, but a book is like... most people, when they're writing a book, aren't writing it with the idea of making money in mind. Because, well, basically, because that would be pretty fucking stupid. I mean, if that's what you were doing with the idea of, like, I'm going to be rich, boy. Boy, oh boy, would you be wrong. And so maybe that is the difference between something and... I don't know, I guess overall, too, I think because the book had more layers of emotion and more depth of emotion, like... it was scarier when it was being scary. It was funnier when it was being funny. It was, you know, nostalgic when it was being nostalgic. And because it has the textures, the different textures in the emotions, it's able to achieve... not only does it achieve a greater variety of emotions, but each of those emotions is better expressed as well. And I think that's the really important thing. It's not just about... oh, well, it had more in it. I think it's the more allows for the individual pieces to be better because it gives them contrast, it gives them context, and it gives them purpose. Boom! How's that for a fucking Potoween episode, you fucks? Okay, we'll see you next time.
My goddamn ones. Now you're seeing Frodo. He numbers velocity. The velocity.